In Iraq, hospitals are in disrepair. Doctors say chronic shortages of equipment, drugs, and even beds are compromising the nation's health. American administrators say they have designated money for drugs that they say is adequate by Iraqi standards. But Iraq's healthcare providers had hoped those standards would be raised under a U.S. occupation. From Baghdad, Julie McCarthy reports.
The maternity ward of the Ashu'ele Hospital in western Baghdad. Cleaning ladies with ragged mops swirl dirty water and stale disinfectant on the floors. A single doctor shuffles between several women in labor. Into this world of stinging odor and mostly unsterilized equipment, a baby girl is spanked into life. She is one of approximately 30 infants delivered in this room every day. There is only one fetal heart monitoring machine in this entire hospital. Conditions that would shock the average American are the norm in Iraq's medical system. The stone and concrete hospital must serve 1 million residents in this impoverished district. It has just 220 beds. On a tour of the overcrowded pediatric ward, Dr. Ihab Ahmed says patients here routinely sleep three to a bed. The young resident provides a litany of other needs.
Like incubator, antibiotic drugs, steroids, bronchodilator drugs.
Dr. Ahmed slips into Arabic when asked about morale among the staff.
In fact, our morale at the lowest degree now, because we feel that we are giving people nothing.
The sinking morale is evident in the doctor's lounge, where physicians such as Ziad Al-Azawi wonder aloud at where the billions of American reconstruction dollars will be going, and why Iraq's health care does not appear to be more of a priority among U.S. administrators.
They are doing nothing. No one can help me. If the patient come and want a drug, and this drug not available, I have to deal with this problem myself. No one will protect me or will help me.
Dr. Basil Rashid says in the dangerous environment that is now Baghdad, his chief preoccupation has nothing to do with his patients.
First, I have to guarantee my life. Then I think about the others. Because especially at night, if I get out from the hospital, no one can guarantee that I will reach my home alive.
Over at the health ministry, American administrators know well the dangers. On Christmas Day, the interpreter for U.S. officials helping to supply medicine to Iraq was gunned down outside her home. A death threat listing the names of the Iraqis working with the Americans arrived at the office just days before. The U.S. coalition's Sean Stevens, an administrator at the Mayo Clinic in civilian life, says in addition to the perils of losing staff, U.S. administrators face other challenges in supplying the country's healthcare system. Stevens says there are no drug shortages, but that hospitals continue to operate under the old way of thinking that prevents them from speaking up about what they need.
The hospitals would say, we're out of X, Y, and Z drug. And we would say, well, did you ask for what you needed? Did you place an order? Well, can we do that? I mean, these were the sort of mindsets. And so it's going to take a few months to still get the people to understand that things have changed for the better.
Back at the Ashu'ele Hospital, doctors are incredulous at the suggestion they have not made their shortages known. Again, Dr. Azawi.
Impossible. Can you understand that this hospital, the manager and the doctors do nothing? Surely they ask for drugs. Surely.
In the emergency room downstairs, the anguish over shortages is real. A young mentally retarded boy is rolled in shock with an advanced case of pneumonia. Doctors try to revive him with shots of hydrocortisone. A single tear forms in his eye and falls down his graying cheek. The procedure fails, and a relative slumps to the floor, wailing. We lost him, said Chief Doctor Safar al-Husseini, because he came too late. Dr. Husseini, who attended the boy, later remarked that two vials of precious cortisone were used in the fruitless effort to save the boy. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Baghdad.